I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey everybody, welcome into The Memo for this Monday, August the 15th. Hope everyone's having a great Monday.
You're not.
Nope, neither are you.
I'm fine.
No, what's this? 2 minutes ago you told me you're just angry at the world.
I did not.
You did, basically.
I said I hate people.
Well,
but that's an everyday thing. That doesn't change.
Well, yeah, me too, but
I got cut off this morning.
That stinks.
It does stink, Brad.
What else stinks? I haven't had any coffee yet.
You just go get some brown water from down the hall. Hot brown water.
I'm good. No, I'll wait and make a Cafe T12 run here in a minute.
You could? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't had any coffee, but your hair's still standing up, so must have done something right.
That's the
Oh, that's the product?
That's the gunk I put in it.
Oh, I thought the coffee did that every morning. You come in like, I've had four cups. I'm like, no wonder. Look at your hair. Didn't realize that was something else.
No, I do this on purpose with my hair. Thank you, Derek.
It looks good. Yeah. I wasn't complaining about it.
Thanks.
I'm proud of it. Hey, at least you can do it.
Fair point.
I could just put a bunch of gunk on my head, but it would just make it shinier, like turtle wax.
You should do that. You should wax your head. Some people do that.
Yeah. Put a hat on it, just slide right off.
Let's get some turtle wax for your head.
It doesn't need much. It shines pretty well on its own.
Yeah, well.
I usually buff it out and get a rag. And yes, Derek has no hair. We get it.
It's okay.
It's fine. One day it's going to grow back.
Yeah, it will. Mm-hmm. Sure. It'll grow back.
Mm-hmm. When puppies fly.
Hair club for men.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm
not only the owner, I'm also
I'm not
a
only the president, I'm also
I don't know,
a
man. This stuff looks like it works. Probably cost Bosley. an arm and a leg, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've thought about, like, looking into that.
The problem with that is that the people that know you're bald on top are going to be like, oh, yeah. You've been doing hair club for me.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't lie about it. I'd be like, I woke up this morning. Look what happened. I saw a shooting star and made a wish. The few things I have seen about that is it's gradual enough. Like, they shave your head and do it. So, like, when your hair starts growing out, normal, the rest of it starts growing in, too. So, people are kind of like, is that... That's maybe how that normally is. It's not like I'm bald and then one day I have hair.
Get a fro.
That's called a toupee.
You should get a toupee.
No.
Just kidding.
No.
Just kidding.
You know, they do things now where, like, and I only know this just from reading articles online, mm-hmm. not like going places and checking up on it, but they do this thing now. Where they actually create a giant contact lens for your head.
What?
That organically grows your own hair on top of it. And they seal it to your head.
What?
Like with rubber cement.
What?
And you wear it for like a month. And then you go and they remove it. They give you a haircut. And then they reapply it. And
you just
it
made
grows
this
again.
Up. Is this no, on some sci-fi
is,
movie?
No. This is true. I could not wear something on my head.
I don't.
It's not a toupee. It's your hair. It's sealed to your head. Like, you can't, you could sweat and it won't come off and
that's weird, man.
Wear a hat and everything. But you have to go and find out
in 20 years it causes cancer or something.
Well, everything. Sitting here with you causes cancer. Everything causes cancer.
You're a cancer.
But it, I don't know. It's just, it's a weird thing. I watched a video of it one day and I was like,
it's like a giant contact.
It's lens. A giant, like, can looks like a giant
you?
Contact lens. That, huh?
Can you see above you?
Yeah, it's a bird's eye.
Well, that reminds me, sometimes I'll have these dreams where I'm trying to put in my contacts, but one of them is like really huge and it won't go on my eyeball. And
that
I
is hilarious.
I hate those dreams.
I hate contact. I don't wear contact lenses.
I have to wear them. I don't like glasses.
I'll wear glasses till I die. I'm not sticking something in my eye.
That's fine. I've been doing it for 20-something
years. One day it gets lost in there. I'll just be like, cut my eye out. I don't need it anymore. Sir, sew it shut and put a patch over me.
Oh, by the way, we had a compliment yesterday at church. Maggie Bushway, remember our mm-hmm. intern, her mm-hmm. brother, said he enjoys our show and thinks we're very funny.
Shout out to Maggie Bushway's brother.
Yeah, Dax.
Dax.
Dax Bushway.
That is an awesome name.
Yeah. Dax Bushway.
My God.
I mess with a guy named Dax.
Does he, like, wrangle cattle or something?
No.
Like, that's an awesome name.
No. think he works with the church in some capacity with youth.
We need to get him in some sort of government program where he is just like protecting us.
He's the second Dax I've ever known. There was a guy I went to.
That's some Mission Impossible level stuff right there.
I went to high school with a girl. Her older brother was named Dax. His name was Dax Rizzo. Rizzo. That's even better, maybe. No offense, Dax Bushway.
Dax Rizzo kind of sounds like a stripper name.
He was a pretty good athlete, as I recall. I don't know where he is now. Maybe I should Google him, he's undercover and he can't be found.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's some film noir. Like, Dax, if you're listening, you need to become a private eye. Like a Dax Bushway private eye. That just sounds like I see that on a frosted glass window seal of a door with a ceiling fan, you know, swinging inside, waiting on the dame to come in and ruin his day.
Yeah, I don't see any Dax Rizzos. There is no Dax Rizzo. He does not exist on the internets. This is weird.
Well, Dax is a cool name.
That's what we've taken from today's show, if nothing else. Name your kid Dax. I kind of wish I named my son Dax.
Don't end up sitting in a cubicle with a name like Dax. Get out there and make something of
Dax
yourself.
Better than Dak, as in Dak Prescott? Dax Prescott? That's pretty legit, too. Dax. Of course, Dak's short for Dakota.
Speaking of Dak Prescott going full circle, he had a pretty good game on Saturday.
He did. He had a
really
great
good game on Saturday.
Exhibition game for the Cowboys.
I watched it at the.
He's the number two quarterback.
The Don Julio up on the TV. Don Julio, it's a restaurant.
Oh, you were at Don Julio.
And I watched it on the TV.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's Tony Romo's backup, and he'll probably be the starter once Romo breaks his collarbone again or something.
By week four.
It's about a biannual thing for Romo. We'll see. It's just a preseason game, which it really means nothing, but he showed out well. So
yeah.
I think he'll be all right. He'll be good.
We got a full show today.
We
sure
do.
It's going to be pretty good as well.
Yeah, it is.
William Moore is going to be joining us as well as Lauren Wood. Mm-hmm. John Davis from Oxford got some heartbreaking news from just up the road.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible news of that plane crash that happened yesterday morning that claimed the life of six parents.
Yeah.
It's just unfathomable. There's so many kids have lost have lost their parents so quickly yesterday. John's going to be talking to us about that heartbreaking story. And then you've got some crime reports, I believe.
We'll end the show on a lighter note.
All right.
With crime reports.
Sounds good. Even though I stole your thunder and did the one from last week.
That's okay. We still got a bunch of other good ones, believe me.
Okay.
We've got some. We did the Morville Woods people one last, was it Wednesday we did it? Because we just couldn't wait.
Couldn't wait anymore.
So if anybody missed that one, too bad.
Yeah, so sad. And then you guys held down the fort on Thursday without me, I guess.
You sure did.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started.
All right.
William Moore joining us now this morning to discuss something that's been, we've discussed many times, but we're inching closer every day and approaching the opening date for the new Tupelo Police Headquarters. William, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, and yes, this is something that's been in discussions for quite some time. I went back and did a little research, and back in the mid-90s, they were actually started talking about a new police department when they were talking about building the new city hall.
Good grief. Yeah, that has been a while. When did we actually break ground on this?
Broke ground April of 2015 on the new police department. You know, and then it took them a while. They were doing the stuff underground, building geo piers and getting all the foundations ready. And then it was last July of 2015 when they started pouring concrete.
Wow.
At 2 a.m.
Yeah.
On a Monday morning.
I remember that.
Because they did it at night, trying to make sure, trying to avoid the heat of the day. Make sure they can get that large pour done.
Get it all spread out. 34,000 square feet. When I drove by yesterday, they were working on landscaping a little bit.
Doing landscaping, still doing a lot of the finish work inside, still putting up fences and stuff around the back, and
Is there anything of note that's going to happen inside? I mean, I know office space, classroom, that kind of thing, but anything that they're going to get to do really cool that they've not been able to do thus far?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, it triples the size of what they had. I mean, the last time they built a police department was 1966.
Yeah.
I mean, 50 years ago. And basically, they're trying to have this one to be able to serve the city for another 50 years. So it's bigger so that it'll, afford growth in the future. It'll have room to expand inside the same building. It'll have their own the weight rooms. They'll have briefing rooms. It'll have a very large community room, which is one thing they're really proud of. I mean, it's a large room. It'll have the drop-down projectors. It'll be a thing, you know, not only can the police department use it, but it'll be something that actually the community can use. I mean, yeah. There are a lot of...
The amenities go on and on.
And folks think, all right, well, it's a $10 million building, something, and it's got a lot of bells and whistles. It doesn't really. I mean, it's more space.
Right.
You know, because for past several years, you know, people, it hadn't been to the point where, you know, police officers had to share a desk, but, you know, a lot of them had to share offices, and, you know, folks were shoehorned into cramped spaces just trying to get done. You know, now it's a place where everybody should be able to spread out. You know, they'll have, you know, witness interview rooms instead of just having to try to do it in a detective's office
right.
with paperwork laying around everywhere.
One thing we hope it doesn't have is black mold.
Yes, that was one of the problems when the old site, I guess you'd say, on Front Street, along with
the airport.
The one on Court Street where everybody moved into anticipating this new building.
You know, and then followed them to the airport after they moved everything.
A little of the mold did follow with them because basically they packed up all the stuff that had been sitting inside these damp, moldy buildings and took it with them.
The facility on Court Street where the detectives were located, that's now used for records. What's the old station being used for at this time?
Both of them are basically empty at the moment. They're still trying to figure out what to do with the old station on Front Street. And Tupelo Water and Light owns two buildings on Court Street.
Right.
So they're trying to figure out how they can get rid of or what can be done with those. You know, basically the timeline now, they're doing landscaping on the new building right now. They hope to actually have it turned over, get to a certificate of substantial completion, you know, within the next week or so that they can actually start moving stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of new equipment, one thing, you know, the crime lab, their crime lab will actually be in the building now. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah,
they'll be able to bring everything together under one roof.
If you've ever worked in IT before, you know a new building's not going to work the first time you plug everything in.
It's probably going to take a little while. And then, you know, once they get everything, the new stuff into the building, they'll have to move all their equipment and files and stuff from out by the airport. And so it'll probably going to be after the first of the month before they actually get fully installed and up and running.
Well, something that I know they've been looking forward to, hopefully.
Well, since 1966.
Yes, since 1966. Some of these detectives weren't even born yet.
I'm thinking most of the folks on the force weren't born yet.
Yeah, that's true. All right, William, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to do it.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol, so look for that new episode today. Let's go over to Oxford and bring in John Davis of the Oxford Citizen. John, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good, man. Well, we've got a tough story to talk about. Happened yesterday. Had an airplane carrying six people go down near Tuscaloosa, and all six died. Mostly local dentists, but I think it was three couples, correct?
Three couples, all going down to information that I've gathered was a convention, you know, dentist conference
right.
in Florida. Flew out of Kissimmee, which is, you know, in the shadow of Disney World right there. North Fork's where they went down, Tuscaloosa County, just short of the regional airport. Now, the information I was told was there was a distress, you know, emergency landing type scenario that was going to be put in place, and that didn't happen. I imagine that whatever this emergency was, engine or...
Yeah, it was some kind of... some kind of engine problem.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever it was, they couldn't make it and went down short of the airport, and all six were from here. Now, Dr. Poole practiced dentistry in Clarksdale. He went to Delta State, talked to one of his fraternity brothers this morning, Fish Robinson, who runs the community church here in Oxford, which is a very big church, and they were KAs together and just said just a great guy, Hunter. outdoorsman.
Yeah.
One of the ladies, of course, one of Dr. Farese's wife worked with him in the practice, was a dentist herself. But the other lady, Miss Perry, she was on the KD, the board, the auxiliary, not auxiliary board, but it's basically the sorority's house corporation.
No, Kappa Delta. Kappa Delta. Kappa Delta.
Yes, Kappa Delta. I apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you there.
Yes, sir.
KD is Kappa Delta. Their morning, I've talked with their house mother, who's friends with me and my wife, and she's mourning, very sad.
Yeah.
You know, 11 children overall. Dr. Farese is related to Steve Farese and John Farese of the Farese Law Firm.
Yeah.
He had 3 children. 11 children overall. A lot of them are in kind of lower elementary level, going into that middle school area, age children.
Jeez.
Now, Farese, Dr. Farese, and I just corresponded about a week ago when I was on vacation. He and I emailed, and he had just won, was one of 3 coaches that just won the World Series
in
his age division. A U-10 team called the Yellowbush Giants, and they have an actual program at the same complex that Dr. Perry created. So everything is kind of intertwined, just connected here. Dr. Perry was somebody that, you know, was real good with the community. The LaFayette Athletic Director, who and I, who's friends with me, Chick Drury, said he just talked with him Friday.
Yeah.
Friday night going up to high school football. Question about, you know, somebody playing baseball or whatever. The point is, I mean, these are people that lived not only among us, but did stuff with people that I deal with, the people that, you know, that their teams, they did everything that you could kind of connect with, and just a tragedy in general, but really, really impactful because of who they were and what they meant to the community.
Yeah, and you spoke with another local dentist, Dr. Michael Abraham, who knew all 3 of the men, and obviously very shaken, but had a lot of good things to say about those guys.
Well, and unfortunately, I was the one that confirmed it for him. He said he had heard it. He said, as you know, just between us on the podcast now, but you know, he said I was 99% sure, and then when you called, I knew.
Yeah.
And I said, I hate to call you this. You call you Dr. Abraham, and I'm very close with Dr. Abraham. And I knew he had dealings with at least 2 of them. He knew all 3. Come to find out, Dr. Abraham is Jack Abraham's son, who was the Daily Journal Player of the Year for football this past year.
Wow.
Also, very heavily involved with athletics, and I knew to reach out to him. And of course, he just said the world, just great things about everybody involved. And again, you just hate to lose these type of people from your community and this country and this world.
Yeah. Dr. Jason Farese was, I believe, the pilot of this plane. It was a Piper PA-31, could seat 8. It was manufactured in 1984, and according to the AP story, and there was a press conference yesterday in Tuscaloosa or Northport, there was some kind of engine trouble. Apparently it happened pretty fast, and they just simply couldn't get to the airport in time. They tried to land at Tuscaloosa Regional. And
Jason was a pilot that had his license. And I don't know how many years or how extensive he had knowledge. Obviously, if you get your license, you've done a lot of training.
Right.
But I don't know when it was, per se. I think, again, I mean, it's always good to do details. I mean, we're all 3 newspaper guys.
Yeah.
And details are kind of our business. But at the same time, the thing that I'm trying to focus on much more so is the kind of people they were.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me as much that they went down. The fact is, they went down. Whether the engine went out or they clipped a tree or whatever, that's like way down the list to me. It's about the people that were in the crash that I'm trying to focus in on, and ultimately, you know, maybe do something for whoever reads it to feel better. You know, and again, I mean, details are great, but I kind of thought about 15 minutes in this is like, you know, I can find out and write. They went down at 11:20, and they just missed the airport and all that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. they're not here anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a terrible situation, as we mentioned. And thoughts and prayers go out to those families and those kids, especially, man. John, appreciate you taking a few minutes here with us, man. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
And be sure to look for the two sports podcasts that we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps and the new guy, Blake Morgan, pitching in some as well. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live at around 11 o'clock in the morning at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later that afternoon. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And, of course, the high school football season begins this week, so we'll have plenty to talk about looking ahead to this first week of ball games. And for Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, you want to check out Double Coverage. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon-ish, sometimes Friday, in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Houston aldermen voted unanimously to ban smoking inside virtually every closed space accessed by the public. The board voted on August 2nd to implement the ordinance in 30 days. They have been working on it for more than a year. The ordinance prevents smoking within 25 feet of a door entering a building. Businesses and restaurants are allowed to set up a smoking zone outside their buildings. The Houston Police Department will enforce the new ban. If convicted, the smoker will be fined $50 and the business can be fined $100 for a first offense. The penalty increases for additional violations.
A World War II veteran received an early birthday present last Thursday. Orva O.R. Dulaney was presented with new military medals to replace the ones that were stolen 70 years ago. Dulaney will turn 99 on August 2nd. He was an Army medic who cared for the wounded at Omaha Beach on D-Day. During his military career, he earned several medals, badges, and buttons. In July, State Representative Randy Boyd and U.S. Congressman Trent Kelly began working to replace Dulaney's Bronze Star Combat Medical Badge and Honorable Service lapel button, as well as his European African Easter Campaign Medal. A crowd of about 100 gave Dulaney a standing ovation during a ceremony held Thursday in Mantachie.
The Tippah County Board of Supervisors recently presented about 10 acres of land to Northeast Mississippi Community College for the establishment of a local campus. The land is located on Highway 15 in Ripley. It was purchased by the Board of Supervisors this spring. Northeast President Ricky Ford said they are in the process of contacting their architect and determining plans of the building and placement of the center on the property. Rudd Robinson of Pryor and Morrow Architects and Engineers is providing architecture services for the project.
Sanctuary Hospice has named longtime health educator Harold Plunkett as its new executive director. Plunkett has been serving as Edwaumbuck Community College's Dean of Health Science Instruction. He will take over as executive director of the hospice facility on September 1. The hospice house serves 18 North Mississippi counties. It opened in 2005 after a community campaign to provide a peaceful, caring environment for the dying who couldn't remain in their own homes. It opened a home hospice service in 2009. ICC has begun the process of naming Plunkett's successor and hopes to announce a new dean by October.
A Mississippi woman who tried to join the Islamic State group was ordered to spend 12 years in prison on a terrorism charge. Vicksburg native Jalen Young sought to apologize at sentencing Thursday. She told U.S. District Judge Sharon Aycock that she finds what she did, quote, surreal, and that she felt shame over her actions and sorrow for the humiliation she caused her family. Aycock also sentenced Young to 15 years of probation, including a requirement that she undergo mental health treatment and that probation officers be allowed to search her electronic devices to ensure she wasn't engaging in any pro-terrorist activity online. Young's fiancé, Muhammad Daklala of Starkville, pleaded guilty to a similar charge on March 11th. He is set to be sentenced on August 24th. All right, let's welcome Lauren Wood into the show. Hello, Lauren. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we're so cheerful.
I'm trying.
Even on a Monday.
Ooh, coffee.
I've had no coffee.
Oh, that's sad. I'm sorry. Okay.
But I want to talk with you about this In Focus photo essay. You got to go to Lunch Lady Land.
Yeah.
How was that?
Lunch men and women.
Yeah, yes.
Not just ladies.
But. I know. That's my Adam Sandler reference.
Yes, Lynch.
The Tupelo Public School District's food service got to go inside their kitchen and watch them make a ton of food because they're serving how many people? 5,300 a day? All these students?
It was really interesting to see behind the scenes. And that's kind of what I wanted to show people is like what all goes into this because there's tons of moving parts and a lot goes into preparing meals for that many students.
Yeah.
And even like, recipes they have to figure out portion-wise, and then they're cooking, like, pounds of food.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a picture here of this lady stirring, like, a huge, basically, vat of spaghetti.
Mm-hmm. Baked spaghetti, and the thing's really cool. It, like, it's a pan, and they put boiling water in it, so they did all the noodles, yeah. And then it tilts up, and it drains out, and so then they could mix it all before putting it in pans to do baked spaghetti that, you know, put cheese on top, bake it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's actually the... Cheryl McWilliams, the one who's stirring in the photo, she's like, you know, a lot of people like think that we're just like taking things and reheating. She's like, we're making a lot of this stuff and we're preparing it.
Like from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Like they're like, the lasagna's really good. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to come back.
So it looks like it's probably a lot better than the lunch food I had growing up. When we had.
Probably, yeah.
Had those mystery meats at least once a week, and the spaghetti wasn't that good. The cheeseburgers were okay. Pizza was hit or miss.
I had pretty good lunch.
By the time I got to high school, I did not eat a single meal in the cafeteria in high school. I brought my lunch every single day. I was fed up with cafeteria food by that point. But this looks like some good stuff, and which I know it can be hard to make good food in such large quantities.
Mm-hmm. But they're doing it every day.
Yeah, and you got to be pretty organized. One of the pictures, I don't know if it was in the paper, but I put it online, shows a clipboard with a list of duties. Yes. I mean, everybody's got
Everyone has something to do.
Mm-hmm. The entire time.
And they even, like, made their ranch dressing from scratch and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. And there's also little things mandated by the state that they have to, like, requirements safe to meet. So, like, obviously certain calories and then certain, like, a protein and a grain and all that. But the director, Lynn Rogers, was telling me that they have certain requirements they have to meet. Like they have to serve one dried bean a week. Mm-hmm. Like so they were preparing lima beans at Lawndale. And then they have to do one dark green. So a lot of times they do spinach and put it in salads or other things like that. And then one vegetable has to be orange a week. So sweet potatoes or carrots, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think they had these kind of stipulations when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. They were eating a lot healthier than I used to back then. But it is pretty fascinating. I mean, you like to bake and cook, and so to see it done on a large scale. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, instead of, you know, making food for four or like a family, you know, it's like for thousands.
I think that probably goes underappreciated by students, certainly, because kids don't appreciate anything.
Exactly.
No. Just kidding. But yeah, I mean, that's some serious work they're doing five days a week.
A lot more goes into, and they're also like, you know, they serve breakfast also in the mornings, and then they right after breakfast service ends, they jump into lunch. And then they're also prepping breakfast and lunch for the upcoming day, you know, so there's lots behind the scenes that's going on.
Yeah, that's really cool. Anyway, y'all can find this in today's journal or at djournal.com. We've got even more photos there of Lauren's photo essay from the TPSD Food Service. Good stuff, Lauren. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brad, it's Monday.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
As we discussed previously.
You haven't had coffee and you almost forgot.
Well, I haven't had coffee, so I'm not remembering things even. Of course, I have memory problems anyway.
How did you remember to say that then?
What? I don't know. Police reports, you can find more at tipsheet.djournal.com. More as if I've given any yet. See, I'm just off my game today, Derek.
It's okay. We forgive you. Tell me something funny.
An East Main Street repair shop said that overnight someone took a car they were working on. When they called the owner, she said she took the car and it was not running right. She was going to sue them. I think that's how that works.
Wait, what?
The repair shop said she refused to return the car or pay for the more than $800 in repairs already done. So I'm thinking actually it works the other way. They can sue you. For not paying. It's not running right, but she got it home.
She just was walking by one night. I was like, there's my car. I'm just going to get it.
I don't know.
The detail I need is, did they tell her it was finished? Like, is it like they called her and told her it was finished and she just didn't make it in hours and picked it up? Or were they still like halfway through working on it?
I don't know. Of course, I mean, they've already done $800 worth of work, so.
You'd hope there wasn't much more to do.
I'm thinking she got the bills. Like, yeah, I'll come get it. And then she came and got it overnight. It's like, I ain't paying. It ain't working right. I'm sure that's it.
Weak excuse. Okay.
So you're going to sue them for what? I don't know. Not fixing her car right? Yeah, you can't do that.
She trespassed on their property.
Good point. Again, they got a better case against her than she does against them.
I mean, I guess if they had it parked in the parking lot.
It's still private
and
property.
And she had a key.
It is her car, but she still had to
trespass. It's a far more interesting story if she broke in and took it out of the bay.
Yeah.
And drove it off one of the hydraulic jacks. And
through the fence. Fast
enough, yeah. I'm going to just choose to believe that's how it happened.
That's how it went down. She had a big wire cutters and cut her way through the fence. Yeah.
Also, Vin Diesel was there.
Yes.
Maybe that's got something to do with why it's not working right, too.
Maybe so. Well, if it hadn't crashed through the fence, it would have messed up your radiator.
Also, you destroyed a $20,000 hydraulic jack.
Yeah. Come on, lady. An officer stopped a Chevy Malibu with a broken windshield and wrote citations.
It's her again.
No. He wrote citations. He wrote citations. This is a dude. He stopped.
Okay.
Maybe it's her husband. He wrote citations for improper equipment and no proof of insurance. When the officer walked to the car window to explain the citations, the driver called his wife, began talking to her, and refused to accept the tickets. Yeah, you can't refuse to accept a ticket. Because this is what happens. He was arrested, taken to jail, and served with an outstanding warrant.
Wait.
So
the officer comes up to give him the ticket.
Like, okay, this is why I gave you a ticket.
He calls the officer's wife.
No, he calls his own wife, is how I think that works. Officers responded to IHOP on North Gloucester Street for a woman. What's so funny? You didn't get to the funny part yet.
Oh, yeah, you did.
What? That is that IHOP?
Responded to IHOP.
For a woman passed out in the bathroom at 3 p.m. 3 p.m.
Pre-gaming, huh?
Police found the woman at the front of the building when they arrived, so I guess she'd woken up by that point. She smelled of alcohol and had trouble walking. She was charged with public drunk, disorderly conduct, and failure to comply.
Either she got a late start or a really early one.
Or she's just going all day.
Yeah.
A Harmony Lane motel manager said that a female guest stole three pillows, the toilet handle, the toilet flapper, a dresser drawer.
So not Harmony.
And two towels when she left. Lane. She picked up the whole dresser, like a big dresser. That's like a two-person job, right? But the toilet flapper?
Maybe hers was broken.
And
at
handle.
Home.
I guess, yeah.
If I can't use the toilet, nobody can.
Something tells me she wouldn't.
Run through that list for me again. Towels.
Okay. Two towels and three pillows. That's people do that all the time.
Yeah. You're not supposed to take the pillows.
Not that we've done it. Oh, we.
You're really not supposed to take the towels either. Just take the shampoo.
The toilet handle, the toilet flapper, and a dresser drawer.
Drawer.
Okay.
She took a drawer out.
She just took a drawer. I read that as,
of course she did. She had to have something to put all the stuff
in. I read that as just the entire dresser.
No, she took a dresser drawer. She had to put the towels and the pillows and the
toilet stuff
in the...
The toilet...
It's a really weird scavenger hunt, is all I'm saying. I mean, it's a very specific list of items that somebody sent her after.
Yeah.
Where is Harmony Lane?
Beats me. I've seen it on here before, but it's got a motel. Okay, one more.
That good, huh?
Mm.
Careful.
You don't have to bleep this out, Chris. I just have to read it as is. An officer was doing paperwork in his car behind the new police headquarters on Front Street. We just talked about those today. New police headquarters.
Yes,
those,
we did.
We just talked about the new headquarters today.
A building.
Anyway, it's about 11 p.m., and the officer hears these tires squealing. He looked and saw a blue Mustang spinning its tires in a cloud of smoke, as you do. The officer pulled...
In the new parking lot?
I don't know. The officer pulled, I guess, on Front Street, because the officer pulled onto Front Street, made a quick traffic stop. When asked if he knew why he was being stopped, the 38-year-old driver said, "Being an ass?"
And you can quote me.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay.
With a question mark.
You can't bleep that, Chris. It would kill the punch.
Narrative
there.
Flow.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Quoting.
The driver admitted drinking, saying he, quote, had two and a cheesesteak. two drinks and a cheesesteak.
That's what we should have called this podcast. Two and a cheesesteak. That's a far better name.
Two guys and a cheesesteak. Or two drinks and a cheesesteak.
Two and a cheesesteak.
That's a working title.
What do you have tonight? Two and a cheesesteak. All right, buddy.
Keep it. Band name.
Keep it between the lanes on the way home.
It would be a good band name. Two and a cheesesteak. He struggled to maintain his balance when he got out of the car. Was charged with DUI, refusal, careless driving, no proof of insurance. I like the guy's sense of humor, though.
And a license to carry a cheesesteak.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
His open carry license
on
a cheesesteak.
Be honest, I'm just being it right now, so might as well charge me.
Is that illegal?
I ain't taking that DUI, though. I ain't taking that breathalyzer test.
You know why I pulled you over? I'm just more interested in how you kept up with me.
Check out this Mustang.
Awesome.
You see those wheels I was catching?
Just checking out your new headquarters here. And thought I'd leave you a nice donut in the Front road. He's
catching some serious rubber there, officer.
On the frontage road.
At least you had to be impressed by that, right?
At 11 p.m.
That's it for police reports. Get more at tipsheet.djournal.com. Is that a... Is that something you'd be arrested
like,
for?
Officer's like, correct.
Puts it on the citation.
Yeah.
I want to see that in the... Yeah.
Well, those are very good, Brad. Thank you. Good show.
Great show.
Fantastic
show. Better than
show.
I thought it'd be.
Better. We'll never top it. We should stop now. No,
I wouldn't go that far.
Let's not... We shouldn't do any more, ever. Yeah, it's not going to get any better.
It was like a 7 out of 10.
Speak for yourself. I was bringing my 9 game. Shooting with my 9 iron
again,
on that one.
I haven't had coffee, but now I'm going to go get some.
All right, then.
Whoa, sorry.
Killer? Whoa.
Thought that had a rubber thing on the bottom. I didn't...
Stop. Wow. You know it's going to do it. Don't do it again.
It's not working. I thought that took a bad angle.
I mean, it's not working. It's a cup. It's working
fine.
I thought
this was supposed to have a soft bottom on it.
Why are you beating... Don't hit Chris with it. Just set it down and calm down.
Told you to stop editing out my best comments, Chris.
Good God. He's so angry without coffee. He slams his mug down and then throws hot water all over the producer. Now we got like a two-faced situation going on over here.
Sorry about the second-degree burns, yes. Chris.
Just a flesh wound.
I've had worse.
It's getting better.
It's not. Your arm's clear gone.
Not dead yet.
When one of the panels I was sitting in during Elvis Week on Thursday, they were having Elvis movie trivia, not about Elvis movies, but about movies Elvis mm-hmm. loved. And one of the I had never heard this before. I thought I knew most Elvis trivia just living here for the past 31 years. One of his top five favorite films was Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Well, of course.
And he could quote the majority of the film.
Dude.
Nice.
That would be amazing to hear
Elvis
quoting
quote
Monty
Python.
Python.
That's like one of those things you'd never think about.
Amazing.
Like, I want that. Like, he also knew the entire opening monologue from Patton word for word and would do it like at parties and stuff.
Man, I wish I could do an Elvis impression, then I could try to quote Monty Python
do
as Elvis.
Doing Monty Python and the Holy Grail. That's but just like, hilarious
his voice.
To me.
Be like a Mystery Science Theater. Yeah. To show him in the theater just
yeah,
back
just
his head
with the hair and the glasses.
He does all the...
But apparently he rented out the theater there in Memphis several times to go back and see Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Like, that is hilarious to me.
Wow, that's amazing.
That Elvis loved Monty Python.
Your father Grail. Smelt of elderberries. See, I can't do Elvis.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I can't do it.
How was Elvis Week, by the way?
It was hot.
You had fun in Memphis there?
Yeah, I did have fun in Memphis on Thursday.
That's good.
Well-educated. I sat in a really cool panel for the trivia leading up to this panel that was all his designers, his jewelry maker, and the Lansky Brothers store that's in downtown Memphis that made all his clothes, and the people that made some of the furniture in Graceland. So it was really cool to hear these people talk about their stories with Elvis. And, well, the archives department brought out several of his suits and hats and a bunch of different things. And
sweet.
Had them there on stage, so it was pretty cool.
Nice. All right. Good deal.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it, my friends. You can find us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. You can listen to us in iTunes, podcast apps, or at memo.djournal.com. All these stories we talked about today you can read in your daily journal or find at djournal.com. Follow the journal on Twitter at DJournalNow. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke.
I'm on Twitter at W. Derek Russell.
Chris Kiefer's on Twitter.
At Chris Kiefer.
There you go. That's it. We'll be back on Wednesday with more newsy stuff and whatever else is happening.
More newsy stuff.
Newsy type stuff.
That's the new tagline for the show. Newsy stuff.
The memo. We got some newsy stuff.
Two and a cheesecake with newsy stuff.
And other things.
Mm. And more items.
Of note.
It's the vaguest podcast ever.
All right.
You guys been listening to Two and a Cheesesteak? It's amazing. I don't even know what they're talking about half the time.
They're not even talking about cheesesteaks, but
it's newsy stuff.
The news.
With a Z.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
what we need to do. Put a Z on it. We're hip. Yeah. We messed up.
Brought to you by a 40-year-old and a 31-year-old.
We misspell things because we're hip.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Spelling's not cool.
A nerd. You're a big nerd, aren't you? Who spells things correctly.
I don't know what y'all are talking about. Are y'all quoting something?
No.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's coffee time for me, so I'm out.
Coffee time. Bye-bye.
Bye.